Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the last number of weeks, we have been following Jesus around Jerusalem to observe the last days of his life. And we have seen that time and time again, Jesus is doing things that infuriated the Jewish hierarchy, so much so that they were looking for some way to kill him. But they couldn't do it in broad daylight, of course, because they didn't have any legal authority to take his life. Up to this point, the chief priests and the teachers of the law didn't have any legal grounds to have Jesus killed. Now, they had plenty of religious reasons. Breaking of the Sabbath, blasphemy, destruction of the temple, and so on. But they didn't have anything that they could bring to their Roman overlords to have him put to death. And besides that, he was always surrounded by a mass of people who, as it says in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, that who hung on his every word. And they couldn't get to him at night because in the evening he would withdraw out of Jerusalem. And even then he was still surrounded by many disciples. Thus, they continued to wait and to plot and to wait some more. So, since they couldn't find any way for themselves to have Jesus killed, they thought that maybe they could see if they could get the Romans to do it for them. With this in mind, they sent some spies to Jesus to try and catch him in something that would then make him appear to be a threat to the Romans. If they could go back and report to Pilate that Jesus had advised the Jews not to pay taxes to Caesar, then surely the Romans would want him dead also. And there would be nothing that the Jewish pilgrims there for the Passover could do to stop that. Great plan, right? Truthfully, it was pretty ingenious. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He gave them an answer that fully maintained submission to Rome while in no way compromising his obedience to God or to Jewish laws. And they were also amazed at his ability to completely avoid being trapped in any way, shape, or form, that they simply became silent. There was nothing more for them to say, nothing more for them to do than what needed to be done, but didn't know how to have it done, and that was for Jesus to be killed. One of the last things, you know, you ever want to do if you're trying to avoid a fight is to put a person in a position where they have no options. It's like cornering an animal. You know, many animals, perhaps most animals, given the chance to run from a human, they will run away. But any animal, even a small animal, seemingly harmless animal, will become vicious and ready to fight when backed into a corner with no way out. And that's what Jesus had done with the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He backed them into a corner. They had no good way to get rid of Jesus, but they couldn't allow him to keep doing what he was doing and saying what he was saying. At every turn, he was gaining popularity and simultaneously making them look both foolish and inept. I think the whole situation was kind of like sealing the lid on a pressure cooker. The Jews had become boiling mad, and Jesus, through his actions, had sealed the lid. And now that they had even been silenced before the people, there was no way for them to release their pressure that was building up among them. And thus, something was about to blow. Jesus had them right where he wanted them to make things happen on his terms, not on theirs. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote, "For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day." Paul didn't pass along to the Christians in Corinth of first importance about Jesus' miracles. And Jesus' teachings weren't of first importance. Jesus' transfiguration wasn't of first importance. What he passed along of first importance was the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus became incarnate. That's why he kept the law perfectly in our stead. That's why he told those that he healed not to tell anybody until he had risen from the dead. That's why he came to Jerusalem. That's why he overturned the tables of the money changers. That's why he insulted the teachers of the law and the chief priests, and why he silenced them. It was all aimed at him going to the cross in his time to bear our sin, to pay our debt, that we would be forgiven of our sin. Jesus' death and resurrection were of first importance to Jesus because our forgiveness and salvation was of first importance to Jesus. And thus he did what he needed to do to drive his opponents to a point where they were forced to take the action that he wanted in his time. He silenced them. He backed them into a corner so that they had to fight back. And it's for that very reason that you and I have been saved. To God and God alone be the glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.